Why all these prophecies in Ezekiel at such length against Egypt? What we've got here in Ezekiel 29 is typical of them. Well, I think it's because at the time that Ezekiel was prophesying, he was one of the first who went into captivity, and the rest of Judah was still back there in Judah and Jerusalem, and they were being threatened by Babylon, and they were trusting in Egypt. They thought that Egypt would help them against Babylon instead of trusting in God. And that's why Ezekiel is, it seems to me, sending these messages back to Judah. And by doing so, he was confirming the parallel ministry of Jeremiah, who was with them at the time there in Judah, who was saying the same, Egypt is going to fall and Egypt will not help you. And so verse 6 of Ezekiel 29, they have been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. And indeed, Egypt were a weak reed. They looked like a strong stick that Judah were putting all their weight upon, but they were just made of reed and were going to collapse. You can figure that they were putting all their weight upon them because it says in verse 7, when they took hold of you by your hand, you broke and tore all their shoulders. So Judah were leaning so heavily on Egypt that when the reed gave in, their shoulder was torn because they'd put so much heavy weight. They were totally dependent upon this reed. And their thighs, verse 7, were paralyzed because of this. Well, we know that Egypt is a symbol of the world, and of course we have this problem, don't we? What does this translate out into in daily life? You have a lump appear, and what do? You really throw yourself upon God? Or do you go for tests, analysis, etc., etc., and then finally, sometime later, when it looks pretty bad news, oh, you turn to God. What do you do when you're driving in the middle of nowhere and you get a puncture, and you go to change the wheel, and the bloke who used the car before you also had a puncture, and he didn't get it fixed, and that spare wheel is shot as well. What do you do? Where's the number for some sort of emergency services? Can I flag down another driver on the road? Or do you firstly turn to God? Or is it only when you find that the number you've got for the breakdown assistance isn't working? And only when no cars appear or nobody wants to stop for you because it's getting dark, only then do you turn to God. These are the issues of daily life. And all secular help is ultimately going to not work. We are to turn to God first and foremost. I'm not saying don't use a breakdown service, don't use doctors, of course not. But first and foremost, God is our God and not the strength of Egypt. This is a lesson that you have to keep on learning. And Judah had been taught this about 100 years before, when during the Assyrian invasion, likewise, they had trusted in Egypt to help them. And that hadn't worked. They should have learned the lesson. Just like we should learn the lessons God keeps teaching us. And if we fail to learn them, he often gives us another chance to learn them. But if we do apparently respond rightly, he gives us another chance to repeat the lesson so that we get the point. Circumstances do repeat in our lives. And the thing is, Egypt appeared initially to help. They appeared to give some support against Assyria. And likewise, they appeared to give some support against the Babylonians. In fact, the Babylonians withdrew from Jerusalem for a short while, just as the Assyrians did, due to Egypt. So again, the situations repeat. And the idea was that Judah would have learnt, but they didn't. Now in verse 7, it says that Judah took hold of you, that is Egypt, by your hand, but you broke and tore all their shoulders. They took hold of you by your hand. Well, that is an idiom for making a covenant. God took Israel by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. But now they entered into a covenant with Egypt, from whom they'd been taken out by God taking them by the hand, and they gave their hand to Egypt, they made a covenant with them. Now, if we are in covenant relationship with God, it means that he will look out for us. And ultimately, he will save us. Even if we fall asleep in Christ and we shall all die at some point, ultimately, he will be our saviour. Whereas all human help is but with weakness fraught, as an old hymn says. Now, this trusting in human strength is deeply upsetting to God. It really is, because he winds up here in 16 talking about how he's going to destroy Egypt. It shall be no more the confidence of the house of Israel, bringing iniquity to remembrance. By the way, they turn to look towards them. Well, God destroyed Egypt, actually, because he didn't want them to be the confidence of the house of Israel, to bring their sin to remembrance. It's as if every time they turned their eyes, turned around and looked towards Egypt in faith, this made God remember, as it were, all Judah's other sins. And he remembered the times they had done this. So to trust in Egypt was to betray, really, their relationship with God. It shows the huge significance of Jeremiah 17, verse 7, where we're told that the man who hoped or had confidence in Yahweh alone would be blessed. Now, as I say, this doesn't mean not using folks like doctors and breakdown services and things like that. But the idea is that we are ultimately to have eyes for him alone, and that our ultimate hope and confidence is in him, even if he works through human means.